Hello, everyone. It is your host, Marissa. I'm excited to bring you this episode because it is something that was inspired by a conversation I had with a client in a private coaching session this week. I think now that it's February, it's a month into the new year, and people who started new weight loss resolutions are sharing their progress, we're seeing a lot more body image and weight-centric content being shared online, like before and afters, progress pictures, and updates on diets that people are trying. A lot of people use social media as an accountability tool, almost as a journal or a diary to document their life or anything going on. But unfortunately, if they're public or if we're friends with them online, we become the audience. Sure, we're consenting to consuming their content by being online or following people, but the content can really take you off guard if you're on a totally different journey. So this episode is for you if you are on a journey to heal your relationship with food and you are feeling influenced or triggered by diet and weight loss content online.
Welcome to Behind the Binge, the podcast where we bring forth much-needed conversations about binge eating recovery and ditching diet culture. I'm your host, Marissa Kaimilik, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and binge eating coach. This is our space to dive into practical tips to heal from binge eating, challenge your diet culture beliefs, discuss the nuances of intuitive eating, and empower you to recover. Let's start exploring what's behind the binge.
In today's episode, I'm going to share with you four questions to ask yourself when you are feeling influenced by this content. This is to help you get back to what your here and now goals are and help you to filter out the noise of the diet culture world around you. You can use these four questions as journal prompts if you want to dive in a little bit deeper, but sometimes even just asking yourself these questions can help put into perspective what's really going on. Let's get right into it. The first question I want you to ask yourself is, do I know the full story behind what they're sharing? Let me remove some shame here about failed dieting attempts before I share some of these examples. It is not your fault that you quote unquote failed a diet. A diet is set up to fail you because it is taking you outside of your own body, leaving you to rely on rules to meet your body's needs, which literally nobody, no thing, no diet, no calculation knows your body better than your body knows itself. So we are influenced by external factors that manipulates our intake, which can really just set us up to fail. So let's put that out there. It's not your fault. It's set up to fail, especially the ones that are paid. They want you to come back and do it again. So why are they going to make you successful long term? Noom. Anyway, I have seen it year after year with people that I'm friends with on Facebook, where they share their before and after photos, they share their great weight loss successes, and they are applauded for that and feel really sad for them because I know that is just fueling this expectation now that they have to maintain it. Otherwise, they will lose all of this love and appreciation and acknowledgement that maybe they were so craving before in the first place, but they only received once they actually met the thin ideal. And then, let's say a year, maybe 2 years later, they're starting over again and they're sharing, hey, I fell out of my workout routine or I fell out of Whole 30. Who's in it with me? Who wants to restart? And let's really do it this time. And the cycle continues. I see them lose weight and then gain back the weight plus more. Lose weight again, gain back the weight plus more. And their life just becomes revolved around trying so desperately to not only lose weight, but then maintain it when their body is actively fighting against it. Our bodies are designed to fight weight loss despite our best attempts because losing weight and being in a caloric deficit is an unsafe environment for our body to be in. Now, if you're listening and you are classified as an overweight or obese individual based on the bullshit that is the BMI standards, you might be thinking, no way, Marissa, my body is unhealthy or unsafe in my current here and now body, and I need to lose weight. This is what we have been told for years and years and decades, and if maybe not centuries. However, regardless of whether or not your health status may or may not be correlated with your weight, we have no research that shows that for the vast majority of people, weight loss attempts especially outside of their current BMI classification, is sustainable. So what that means is that if you are in a larger body and you try to lose weight, and maybe even in the short term, you see that weight come off, your body has a natural set weight range above what you've lost the weight to become, and your body's going to do everything in its power to fight to get back to that weight. What that looks like is your metabolism lowering, your hunger and fullness hormones getting dysregulated, other regulatory hormones being dysregulated, your reproductive system being impacted, such as when you lose a period or no longer have an ovulation cycle. All of these things that happen as a result of us trying to control our food in order to influence our weight, it all changes completely outside of our control. And so that's also another big reason why it's not your fault when the diet backfires, because your body literally fights the diet by raising your appetite, slowing your metabolism, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm saying is, even if, and we're really playing with this here, but even if there is some sort of correlation between your weight and health, we don't have a way to successfully, sustainably, or healthfully control our weight for the mass majority of people. I'm going to probably misquote this study, but there was a study that I read recently about how for less than 1% of individuals studied, it was a study over 9 years with over 100,000 people, and less than 1% of those participants were able to change BMI categories from obese to a quote-unquote normal BMI. This is another big reason why BMS is bullshit, but it also shows that no matter these participants' best attempts to lose weight during the duration of this study, it was unsustainable in the long term for their weight to adjust to a place and maintain in a place that is considered quote-unquote normal. So what is a normal weight for you may not be a normal weight for me, may not be a normal weight for any other individual. I don't like pathologizing bodies, and so excuse me in using the language like obese or overweight, etc., because we know that these classifications of weight are inaccurate with the sort of beliefs and stigmas that they hold. But when it comes to research, this language is still primarily used to classify the participants in which they are studying. So this study that I'm referencing is from 2015 in the American Journal of Public Health, and it is called The Probability of an Obese Person Attaining Normal Body Weight, Cohort Study Using Electronic Health Records. So I will definitely link and cite this study below. But essentially, the conclusion of the study is that the probability of attaining normal weight or maintaining weight loss is low, and that all we know about quote-unquote obesity treatment right now is very ineffective, which means all that we know about trying to control our weight is ineffective, which we know and you know. Look back at your own dieting history. I'm guessing you can see repeated failed attempts, and that's not because you failed, but because what we know about all we can do to try to change our body weight doesn't actually work long term. So at the end of the day, it does not matter if your weight has anything to do with your health status. What matters is what is within your control, which is just behaviors, and weight is not a behavior. Oh my goodness, I really just went off on a tangent that had nothing to do with the question that we initially started this with. But I digress. What I'm saying is, do we know the full story behind what these people are sharing? Do we know what they had to do in order to get to the weight loss that they have achieved? That could include eating disorder behaviors. That could include things that are worse off for their health than actually just remaining in a larger body. And we don't know the full story of where this will lead them. And if we've seen them lose weight, gain weight, time and time again over years, what is going to make what they're sharing now any different? Again, this isn't to shame the person that we're seeing online sharing these things. It's just to put it in perspective to us. And we can actually hold a lot of compassion and empathy for what they may be going through in needing to share their weight loss pursuits online with people, because that means that they feel as though their body is a source of acceptance and validation for them. And I'm guessing that doesn't align with your values, that your values go deeper than the surface. And their values probably do too, but they've been blinded by diet culture. So do we know the full story behind what they're sharing? No, we never will, because the only person that knows the full story is themselves. And even if they share with you that what they're doing is super healthy, I've been that person to say what I'm doing is healthy and everyone should do what I'm doing. Yet I was missing my period. I was stressed as fuck. I was angry. I had mood swings and I was really, really uncomfortable in my body, even at my lowest weight. But I didn't tell anyone that because I didn't even believe that for myself. I believed what I was doing was best for my health and for my longevity, but really it was the polar opposite. So we do not know the full story behind what anyone is sharing online about their weight loss or dieting pursuits. Whew, okay, that was a long answer for the first question, but here is the second question. The second question I want you to ask yourself when you feel influenced by dieting or weight loss content online is, what is my here and now goal? And would this support that goal? So if you are on your journey to heal your relationship with food, I'm guessing you started this journey with creating some sort of goal for yourself. Maybe that goal was to stop obsessing over food. Maybe that goal was to fill your headspace with things that are more important to you than what you look like and what the number of the tag says on your jeans. Maybe your goal was to stop binge eating, which is largely what my clients' goals are when I work with them. So if that is your here and now goal, would going on another diet or trying to do what they're doing support that goal? Let's play with the goal of to stop binge eating. Okay, we're seeing, I don't know, Mindy Kaling losing weight and People Magazine picks it up and says that it's because she went low carb. I'm making that up. I don't know. I do know that Mindy Kaling's been sharing pictures that show that she's lost weight. I don't know the extent of what she shared about it, but let's pretend that People Magazine picks it up and says that she lost the weight because she lives a low carb lifestyle. I have this desire to lose weight, hypothetically. First of all, does pursuing weight loss support my here and now goal of stopping binge eating? No, because when I seek to pursue weight loss, I have to restrict. There's no way around it. There's no way around not listening to my body in some way, because no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to be questioning if that could lead to weight loss or weight gain or weight maintenance, etc. So it's completely disconnecting me from listening to my body. And I know my past experience is that when I restrict, I binge. So if I want to continue on this path to binge freedom, her weight loss pursuits have nothing to do with my here and now goals. In addition to that, going low carb. Does that support my here and now goals? Absolutely not, for the same reasons. Restriction does not lead me to binge freedom. It just makes me binge on carbs even more. So we can already swipe down, block that person, hit not interested on that post because we're like, you know what? This is not supporting my here and now goals. It's actually only distracting me from those. So I don't want to consume this content. I have to focus on me. When you are clear on what you want, what your goals are, it makes it really easy to sift through social media because you can quickly decide if something is supporting your growth or distracting you from that. And when you make that conscious decision of, hey, I am pursuing food freedom, it is really helpful to stay headstrong in that and be like, that is what I'm pursuing, even if it's just for the next year. And then we can reevaluate if I want to go back to dieting. I'm pursuing food freedom. Does this support that right now? Nope. Okay, we're going to put that aside. We're going to swipe past it. We're not going to engage in the rabbit hole that will be researching how she lost the weight, how long she's been doing this for, how long she'll maintain it for, etc. I love, 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 love Kelly Clarkson. If you don't watch Kelly Clarkson's TV show, I don't actually watch on TV, but I watch a lot of clips of it on TikTok and YouTube, and it is fabulous. However, historically, we know she has struggled with her weight. Seen her on magazine covers thousands of times sharing about how she lost weight and how to do it, how she did it. And then what do we know? She's gained the weight back. So even with all of the resources in the world, all the money in the world, her body has fought back. And back then when she would share about her weight loss, I would buy into that. Like, that is the answer. But clearly now we know today that wasn't the answer that all of us were buying into back then, because she has since gained weight back. And I seriously love her, and I'm not shaming her because, like I've said a million times, it makes sense that she gained weight back. Her body was meant to gain weight back. Her body didn't feel safe in that smaller body. Her body didn't feel safe doing the things she had to do in order to achieve that body size. And we don't even know how she did that, right? All of that to say is that no matter what we're seeing online, we don't know the full story. And no matter what resources the people who are sharing content online have that might make what they're saying different, all the resources in the world don't know you better than you know yourself. So if whatever they're sharing is not in alignment with your here and now goals, swipe left. We're not normally consuming this content on like a dating app, but swipe left, swipe up, swipe down, swipe away, get off the phone. Third question is sort of like a sub question to the second question, where we ask ourselves, what does my past experience tell me about whether or not this would work for me or this would apply to me? If what somebody is doing in order to lose weight or what they're sharing in order to lose weight, you've done before in some sort of way, and you look back on your past and you realize all of your attempts to lose weight, maintain a calorie deficit, eat low carb, eat low fat, whatever it might be, has just led you binging, I want to remind you that's not your fault. It wasn't just a matter of willpower, but that your body doesn't agree with that. Most bodies don't. Most bodies do end up fighting back. And a lot of people you don't realize are struggling with binge eating and overeating as a result of these restrictive diets. So really lean into your past experiences and use that as evidence of what doesn't serve you anymore. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. So don't let the allure of diet culture drive you insane. Don't let the way in which the new diet is romanticized, giving you this fantasy, make you forget all that you already know about yourself and your lived experiences. So I don't care what Mindy Kaling is doing, what Adele is doing, what anyone is doing, because what you know is what your past experience has been able to tell you. Learn from those past experiences that, hey, when I restrict, I binge. When I try to lose weight, I obsess over food and my body, and I don't want that for myself anymore. And know that you know your body better than anyone else. Which leads me to my fourth question. These all tie together, clearly. Fourth question is about asking yourself, does this person know me better than I know myself? I don't care if it's a doctor, a dietitian, a nutrition coach, a celebrity. Nobody knows you better than you know yourself. So trust yourself. Trust your body and the ways in which it has shown you what makes you feel good and what doesn't make you feel so good long term. If time and time again, you've actively pursued weight loss and it has left you binging, obsessing over food, that is information that nobody else has about you. And so if somebody is saying, this is the answer, I feel so free, I have so much energy, this is so easy, they don't know that all of those things they're doing has actually led you to be worse off than you were before. And so no, while it might work for someone else and make them feel amazing, it doesn't make you feel amazing long term. We don't have to engage in what other people are doing. We don't even need to convince them that it's wrong. We can just say, you know, to each their own, I know myself better than anyone else, and I'm going to trust that. I'm going to continue to lean into that. Whew, I haven't talked all day, and now I'm losing my voice. You know yourself better than anyone else. You know your body better than anyone else, and your body knows you better than anyone else. So start learning how to trust that again. And when you go through these questions, when you get clear on your goals, when you start realigning with your here and now goals and what your past experiences have shared with you about what works and doesn't work, that's when you can truly become your best self. Because you're doing it for you, you're doing it with you, and all those external noises don't have so much over you anymore. Finding food freedom, ditching diet culture, becoming an intuitive eater is incredibly freeing, but freeing in a way that actually puts you back in control, because you gain back control over your own choices and over your own ability to respond to your body's cues. A diet takes away your choice. Making all of your decisions based on external factors, like what someone else might think or what the scale says, takes away your choice. So if you actually want to get back in the driver's seat of your own life experiences, you have to get out of the back seat and kick the person out of the front seat and take over. You know where you're going. Follow that intuition. All of my clients know that I love using metaphors and analogies. And I'm just thinking about how if you were driving down a back road, and every time you went down this back road, you hit a pothole and you got a flat tire. If you kept doing that and kept getting that pothole and then kept getting frustrated with yourself for going over that pothole, look at the fact that A, you can't control that the pothole is there, but what you can choose to do is go a different direction. You can take a different route. Maybe the route is longer. Maybe it's shorter. Maybe it's windier. I don't know. But we know that that road doesn't lead you to a positive outcome. It leaves you having a flat tire. So remember that. And every once in a while, you might forget it, or you might think, well, maybe they filled in the pothole, right? But then if you go back down that road and they haven't, how about we just start trusting that, hey, they're not going to fill that pothole. That thing's been there for years. That thing's been there for decades. No matter what I do, if I slow down, speed up, try to go around it, I keep hitting it and getting a flat tire. It's time I take a different route. So think of it like that. Getting wrapped up in what you see online or on TV or in the movies or on a magazine cover just puts you back in the back seat of your own life. So take in all that information through the front seat, through the driver's seat. Someone can say, hey, I've gone a different route before and I've gone left here, but you're essentially driving. You can go straight or you can go right. If you know that every time you go left, you hit that damn pothole, oh, nice. I like to go this other way instead, but thanks for sharing, right? It all leads us to the same place, hopefully, to a place where we feel empowered to trust ourselves and live our best life and listen to our own damn bodies. Wow, this episode has gotten feisty. And I also think I've talked in a circle for the last little bit of it. So let's end it here. To recap, the questions to ask yourself when you feel influenced by diet or weight loss content online are, 1, do I know the full story behind what they're sharing? 2, what is my here and now goal and would this support that goal? 3, what does my past experience tell me about whether or not this would apply to me? And 4, does this person know me better than I know myself? All right. Thanks everyone for listening. If you feel so inclined to gift me with something for my birthday, because my birthday is February 12th, I would love the gift of a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It takes a few seconds to hit a rating and then write an actual written review, but it helps so, so much in the long term to reach new audiences and help this become a trusted source for binge freedom information and education. So please leave a review when you have a moment, when you're not driving, when you wake up in the morning, when you're back from your walk, and let me know what you're thinking. And I super, super appreciate it. Just I'll take it as my birthday present. And if you are looking for more support on your binge freedom journey, both myself and my associate RD Morgan are accepting new private coaching clients right now. So you can get started right now. I will leave the link to apply for coaching in the description below. And then one of us will reach out to you to schedule a free consultation call to make sure that we are the right fit to work together. Okay, that's all. Thanks for listening. Oh, one more last quick thing. Hold on. Speaking of Morgan, Morgan is going to be recording a podcast episode once a month. So you will be hearing more from Morgan in the future. I think this is awesome. Because so many dietitians, I mean, we all know similar things and we can share similar things. Yet sometimes when you hear it from a different person, when they explain it with a little bit of a different perspective, it can click, even if we've heard the information before from someone else. So I think there's only positive things to come from getting another voice on this podcast. And I love Morgan. She is a fantastic dietitian and I can't wait for you guys to get a bit of her knowledge through this platform. And we do already have a podcast episode with her, episode number 50. So if you don't know who I'm talking about and you haven't heard that episode, definitely go give that a listen. Okay, now that is all. Thank you guys so much for listening and I will chat with you soon. Bye.